Barbie and the Price Tag of Emancipation. Cultural 73.100 Equality. Structural 21.100 System Break. Overall 52.100. The film Barbie 2023 spreads emancipation and makes it brand compatible. Pink pop event versus power machine. Barbie 2023 looks like a pink icing firework and at the same time works like a precisely built machine. A machine that can do two things at once. It can say, feel, show emancipation. And it can package this emancipation so that it doesn't feel like a burden, but like an event. That's not a glitch. That's the concept. The film makes the patriarchy visible, but it also makes it consumable. It takes the criticism that has accompanied Barbie for decades and turns it into what capitalism does best, into a modern, self-ironic, criticism-capable brand. The deal in one sentence, plus three pieces of evidence. The deal in one sentence, Barbie affirms emancipation, but frames it as cultural modernization within capitalism, spreadable, quotable, aesthetic, brand compatible. Evidence 1. The origin as product myth, prehistoric times, monolith. The film does not start with a character, but with a religion. In the 2001 parody, Barbie appears like a monolith that frees girls from the baby doll mother role. This is the first embrace of the contradiction. Liberation is not told as a political process, but as an iconic product event. Emancipation is tied from the outset to a logo-free but clearly branded symbol. Evidence 2. The crack immediately becomes story mechanics, party death plus flat feet. Do you guys ever think about dying at the party? Is not just a gag. It is the moment when perfection becomes visible as a cage, and the flat feet scene turns this into physicality, the pose high heel foot tips into materiality flat foot. Feministically, that is strong. Commercially, it is even stronger. Barbie does not become the perpetrator of norms, but the sufferer under norms. Criticism is redirected into empathy. Evidence 3. The way out remains individual, becoming human plus gynecology punchline. In the end, the solution is not change structures, but become human. Existentially moving and politically relieving, the film delivers no conflict costs, but a feeling of dissolution. That is exactly what makes it suitable for the masses. Patriarchy as model. Three operating modes. If you read patriarchy not as an insult, but as a system of power and rewards, the film becomes surprisingly precise. It shows three operating modes. A. Real world. Gaze, devaluation, institution. When Barbie and Ken arrive in the real world, the atmosphere tips. Gaze regimes, comments, a public space in which Barbie is suddenly no longer standard, but a projection surface. Here the film models patriarchy as everyday software. Not a single villain, but a thousand small signals that say who is supposed to move how. This is effective because many viewers immediately recognize it. B. Barbieland. Inverted world plus norm pressure. Barbieland is the inversion. Women rule, men are decorative. It feels like a feminist wish space. Until you realize that norms also rule here. The perfect daily loop. The choral hi Barbie. The social sanction for the death thought. Barbieland is therefore not the good world, but a model of how power also works in the guise of the positive. Through a duty of harmony, through exclusion, weird Barbie, through the obligation to a flawless surface. C. Ken as status crutch, patriarchy as quick identity. Then comes Ken. His brilliance is at the same time the diffusing of the film. Ken discovers patriarchy not as analysis, but as a status package. Horse, respect, outfit, gestures of possession. And he imports it into Barbieland, where it immediately works. Kendom takes over. Barbies are reprogrammed. Ken is not a monster, but a lesson. Whoever falls worthless grabs the next best script that promises recognition. Mini model, patriarchy equals reward system. Rewards, status, visibility, respect, aesthetics of possession, competence aura. Punishments, ridicule, invisibility, exclusion, shame, back in the box. Myths, natural, deserved. That's how the world is. Men are just like that. Women want that after all. The film shows, patriarchy does not persist because everyone believes in it, but because it pays off, emotionally and socially. That is one of its strongest truths. Mattel as co-author, how criticism becomes brand value. The film pretends to criticize Mattel, and it does. But it does so in a way that is ideal for an IP brand, controlled, self-ironic, without real dispossession. Mini model the brand mechanism in the film. Criticism, integration, immunization, monetization. Criticism Barbie stands for norm pressure, body images, consumer feminism, plastic world, integration. The film makes this criticism part of the world mechanics. Weird Barbie, flat feet, existential emptiness. Immunization, when the brand itself voices the criticism, any external criticism seems already taken into account. Monetization, the renewed, self-reflective Barbie becomes culturally hot, and thus commercially maximally exploitable. You can see this in the central set pieces. Weird Barbie is the canonization of what happens to Barbie in the real world. She is played with, ruined, disfigured, and the film says, that's not embarrassing, that's knowledge. Result, even deviation is now officially Barbie universe. The Mattel headquarters is built as satire. Men in suits, the box logic, the idea of controlling Barbie again. The joke is this satire does not necessarily harm Mattel, it can even benefit Mattel, because it signals, we understand, we laugh along, we are modern. Gloria's monologue is the strongest feminist passage, and at the same time a perfect communication product. Emotional, quotable, discourse ready. This is exactly how criticism moves from the political into the culture industry. As a moment that can be shared without having to change any practice for it. Mini model. Emancipation as event. Aesthetics. Pastels, set design, choreography, equals freedom looks good. Meme capability, death sentence, flat feet, Ken poses, freedom is shareable. Consumption ritual, identification through outfits, psalms, references, freedom is experienceable. That is the core. The film translates emancipation into a format that capitalism loves. Symbolism, narratability. In doing so, it gains reach, but it loses radicality. Audit of the evaluation. Three tests plus steel man. I start with the preliminary hypothesis. A equals 70-100, cultural. B equals 30-100, structural. Now I test this hard. Test 1, beneficiary test. Who measurably wins? Mattel Studios partners definitely win. Brand warmth, connectivity, renewed relevance, and IP proof. Audience often wins. Language for diffuse experiences, double binds, shared images, relief. Feminist movements win indirectly. Low threshold conversation starters, but no organizational power. Interim conclusion, the biggest sure winner is the brand. That pushes B down. Test 2. Consequence test. What really changes institutionally, economically? In the film, it ends with becoming human. That is, with individual ethics of existence. There is no structural lever. No institution. No economic logic. No real mechanism that visibly shifts. Even the Barbie Land reset is a moderate reform. Kens get a little space, but the system remains a system. Interim conclusion. Structural impact is low. B sinks further. Test 3. Co-optation test. Is criticism turned into brand value? Yes, massively. The film is a lesson in how to integrate criticism without taking damage. Barbie becomes a character who suffers under norms. Mattel becomes the funny uncle. Ken becomes the humanized carrier of the problem. Criticism does not become destructive, but curable. Interim conclusion. This speaks for high cultural effectiveness, A up, but against system break, B down. Steel man. The strongest counter-argument, mainstream reach is itself political power. Cultural shift is a prerequisite for structural change, and without brand compatibility, this film would not exist. This cannot be brushed aside. When millions of people talk about double standards, that is not nothing. Culture is the antechamber of politics. It determines which sentences can be said, which shame tips, which topics are no longer dismissed as exaggeration. My answer, yes, but reach is not automatically direction. The film lowers the entry threshold into feminist language, but at the same time it delivers a sedative. You are not wrong, it's complicated, and in the end it will somehow be okay. That is psychologically soothing. Politically, it is ambivalent. That's why I don't correct A downward, I correct B downward. Final weighting, final numbers, final. A. Cultural impact, 60% weight, 73-100. B. Structural impact, 40% weight, 21-100. Overall index, 0.6A plus 0.4B, 52-100. Why so? Pro-equality, discourse capability, plus identification, plus de-tabooing, body shame, double standards. Contra-system break, co-optation of criticism into brand modernization, hardly any institutional consequence. Ambivalence, patriarchy becomes understandable, but also simplifiable, and thus easier to laugh away. In conclusion, three questions for you. Is it enough if a film brings the right sentences into the mainstream, or must it also make the right consequences narratable? Is emancipation as lifestyle, an entry into change, or a substitute for it? When criticism becomes brand strength, how do you recognize the point at which enlightenment tips into advertising?